Remember also that on Sunday nights, we have what we call Sunday night school. Our Sunday morning, we really emphasize praise, worship, exuberance. I share a teaching. I'm always prepared. We're always flexible, even in Sunday morning, even though we're kind of structured. But Sunday morning, the emphasis is praise, worship. What we've done thus far. Sunday night school is a time when we come together. And if you have something that you feel like the Lord God is putting on your heart, like Terry Williamson had come up to me a couple of weeks back, and he says, I'd like to share my testimony with the men. And so if you've got something like that, or if you have a teaching, a revelation or something, that so this is what this is provided for. Come, let us know. And this is so that everybody can bring forth the gifts that God, the grace gifts that God has put in us. So that's what Sunday night school is for. Last Sunday morning, I shared with you about Nicodemus. And he was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. We talked about Nicodemus, the Pharisee, who came to Jesus in a very complimentary way and trying to tell Jesus, you know, man, you're nice, you're neat. We've understood that you're a miracle worker, and we know you're from God. And, of course, Jesus answered the question that Nicodemus hadn't really even asked, you must be born again. But what I got on, and I want to stay on at least this week, is the Pharisee. And I shared with you what a Pharisee, or began sharing with you what a Pharisee is. I want to add another line to that today. I want us to understand even more about a Pharisee. I want us to understand something, and the emphasis that I'll be sharing with you today is a Pharisee mentality will stop your prayer. The mentality that a Pharisee has will annihilate your prayer. You'll pray good prayers, but it will annihilate if you come into a Pharisee mentality. Now, I want us to make sure that we understand that every army has an enemy. Somebody say, amen. Why have an army if you don't have an enemy? The enemy that the army of God, that Jesus had, let me go back and do it this way. The enemy that Jesus really had the problems with was not sinners. Now, you got to hear me correctly, okay? The woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, they brought her to him, they wanted to stone her, and Jesus says, you know, you that are without sin, cast the first stone. And he looked around, and all the accusers had gone. And he says, where's your accusers? He says, they've all gone. And he says, well, neither do I condemn you. Is that what he said? So go get your life straightened out. Don't live like this. Don't keep doing this. But she was not his enemy. I want to try to say something. What was his enemy? The people that he had the hardest times with, and the people that he said beware of. He didn't say beware of the sinners. What did he say beware of? Beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And so that's what we have got to beware of. We've got to understand that our real enemy is a Pharisee or a Sadducee mentality. And so I want to understand a little bit more here. I just feel that we need to walk in this just a little bit more. Now, here in Luke 8, Jesus is teaching here about prayer. So the context is prayer. And in verse 9, in verse the 1 through 8, he's telling them how to pray. And then in verse 9, and he also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that were righteous and viewed others with contempt. King James Bible says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. Now who was he speaking to? The people that did what? Trusted in themselves. And see, a lot of times a Pharisee mentality brings us to the place that we can trust in what we're doing. Trust in ourselves. That we trust in ourselves. Trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And that despised others is very important because the Pharisee mentality will always compare you with people. And you become very condemning because you're always comparing yourself with people. And this will hinder and block your prayers. And so this is what I'm trying to bring forth today. Now, to understand this parable or this story, let's go ahead and read through verse 14, and then let's pray. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Your Bible, if you've got something other than King James, would say tax gatherer or tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus says this, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Now, who went to the house justified? The publican or the Pharisee? The publican. This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You've got two very different people here praying two very different prayers, getting two very different results. Let's pray. Father, help me in these next few moments to share the truths that you have revealed and what you want shared into our hearts right now. Let us understand that there is a mentality in all of your church to judge. Let us understand that there is a warfare going on, and we need to pull down the powers and the principalities in our minds, the fortresses, those strongholds that have developed in our mind within the church. Let us come out of a pharisaical mentality, and let us come into the mind of Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Help me now. Help me now. Give me an anointing. Let the words that I speak be anointed. Let them go into our spirits. Lord God, help us and lead us in Jesus' name. You agree with that? Amen. Two very different people praying two very different prayers with two very different personalities. To understand and to appreciate the story, you've got to understand, first of all, the Pharisee. Talked a little bit about him last week. I want to talk a little bit more about him. Now, this guy, the Pharisee. Now, remember that he is oozing. Remember, the Pharisee is oozing with a desire to satisfy God. I mean, he is not a bad guy. I want you to understand, his desire, his lifestyle is orchestrated as such that will be satisfying and that will please God. He has spent years studying the Scriptures. He can quote to you Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's the law of God. That's the Pentateuch. And he can quote to you. He knows the 613 different laws that are in there. He can tell you those laws. He has given his life to an understanding. He knows the jots and the tittles from Genesis to Malachi, which was what his Bible consisted of. He knew it. He knew it. He knew the Word of God, and he was a very disciplined person. His life was orchestrated by the Word of God. He lived the Word of God. He disciplined his life. He fasted twice a week. He prayed. He was very diligent, and he was oozing with the desire to be satisfying to God. Now, is that bad? There's nothing wrong with that. But you see, what it will do is it will cause you to come into a place where you start comparing yourself with people. Now, the Pharisee, he if we compared him today, and I shared this with you last week a little bit, and probably more than I'm going to share today about it, but the Pharisee would be the very conservative Christian today. He would be the guy who would be against abortion, be against sex teaching education in the schools. He would not want your child handed out a condom. He would be against those, anything that would come against the home family moralities. This guy was against. He's a Pharisee. He's very staunch. Anything that come against the teachings of God, he's against. And he would be very active and very vocal in his beliefs. He would stand for what he felt. He would be against abortion. He would be against gay rights. He's this Pharisee. This is his mentality. If it's against God's law, then I'm against it. Is there anything wrong with that? Of course not. But you see, again, what it will bring you into is a place where you compare you with other people. Now, he knew the Bible. If he was in the Methodist church today, he would be the bishop. If he was in the Roman Catholic church, he would be the priest. If he was in a Pentecostal church, he would be the preacher. If he was in a charismatic church, he would be the pastor or the apostle This is the person that I'm referring. This is a guy that looked like surely he's going to heaven, got it together, knows his stuff, and man, he is religious, he is spiritual, he is whatever term or phraseology that you use. This is the guy that looks the part. This is the Pharisee. He looked religious. He wore the religious clothes. Ever been to a restaurant and you went in and you saw this sweet lady come in with a bun in her hair and the long garments down, and you knew no makeup, no jewelry, knew this person, you knew, was a church going person. Have you seen a person like this? And you knew this person was a church goer. You looked apart. Well, the Pharisee looked apart. They wore the garments. They wore the vestments. They wore it. They looked the part. And I shared with you last week, they wore this little couplet, this little box, and had the scriptures of God written on it, the law of God. And it was put into this little box and hung right here on his forehead. And as they walked, they would hit them in the head just like this. And it was a constant reminder of the Word of God always being on your mind. How many would think that would remind you that the Word of God was on your mind? You walked in the Word. And that was what the Pharisee did. And he looked the part. I mean, man, you know, this guy, if he was willing to do this, then he was spiritual. He talked the part. He knew the lingo. How many knows there is a lingo that we have in church? We have a language. Brother, sister. Now, I got to be careful because I heard a really good teaching at the seminar about brothers and sisters in Christ. But I've got a bad taste in my mouth because I've been called brothers and sisters by people that I'm not sure really meant it. But anyway, he was really, you know, he knew the language. And do you know people like that? Do you know what I'm talking about? People that they know the language. And so this is the Pharisee. He is the ultimate. He is the guy, man, that looks for sure is going to go into heaven. He is the one that we use as an example in the church. He is the guy without doubt, without question, is going to go to heaven. And his prayers apparently are heard of God and answered because he looks and talks and knows the scriptures and all these things. Now, the other guy, on the other hand, is the publican. Now, and this guy is the opposite. He is the total opposite of the Pharisee. This guy, the publican, is a tax gatherer. Now, of course, Rome was the oppressor. Rome would tax the Jewish people. And this guy, the publican, would go out and gather taxes. This is his job. And he was paid. He became very wealthy by collecting taxes. If he was a good tax gatherer, I guess, what was it? Who was the sycamore tree guy? Zacchaeus. If he was a Zacchaeus, he became very wealthy. He was very good at his trade. We would kind of, maybe you can associate, I know probably nobody ever here has gotten one of these phone calls, but from a lender that maybe somebody that you knew owed some money, and they called you and told you, and told them that it was time to pay their bill and they had to come and collect that money. Now, you know there are those kinds of people who have those kind of jobs. And if you're a good gatherer, if you're a good tax gatherer, this is what you did. You knew the people. This is why you were a Jew. And you would know the people and you would know how many kids they had, their income. And it was your job to go to those houses and gather the taxes. Now, how many of you would like a tax gatherer coming to your house, knocking on the door, saying, give me the taxes? And if he was a good one, then he was given the money, that not given all the tax money, but he was given money because he was a good tax gatherer. And this is the extreme. This is if the Pharisee was going into heaven, the most despised person in the Jewish culture is the publican. And Jesus spent some time with these guys. You know that? He spent some time with these publicans. He went to parties with them and stuff. And people didn't like the publican. They detested the publican. Nobody wanted their child to grow up to be a publican. You just didn't want that because they were very despised people in the culture. So this is what the story's about. It's about these two extremists. There's this Pharisee that looks good. He knows the scriptures. He looks spiritual. He talks spiritual. Then there's this poor old publican that goes around beating on his chest because of his sin. Now, either he thinks he's Tarzan or he has a problem with sin. And he's before God and he's wanting to maybe not do penance, but he's hurting on the inside because he's sinned. Now, understanding the story, let's now look at the prayers of these guys and see what God would have us to see. It says there that the Pharisee stood and prayed, saying thus. Or the Pharisee stood praying thus. Now, evidently, he had been sitting there a little while. He had developed what he was going to be saying in his prayer to God, and he stood. Now, understand, they were very pious people, and they wanted their prayers to be heard. It would be like I was sitting here, and we were all in the church together, and I would stand up so that all of you could see me, and I would pray. And if you asked the Pharisee, well, what did you do? Well, I prayed. Duh. And I went before God. Duh. And I spoke my petition, and he heard my voice. And he now is giving me the answer. God heard my cry, and God now will give me the answer because of my piety, because I dress right, and because I talk right, and because I know the Scriptures, and because I pray and I fast twice a week. And because of these things, then God has heard my prayer. Now, that's not what the Bible says. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but your Bible says that all he was doing was talking to himself. Is that what you're looking at? Don't look at me. Look at your Bible. See if I'm telling you the truth. It says he prayed thus with who? Himself. Who heard his prayer? Just himself. I know that's not proper English, Lance, but that's the point. He prayed with himself. It frightens me. I think there's going to be a lot of people in hell that prayed with themselves. Prayed, but they prayed with themselves because of a mentality that was a Pharisee. He prayed thus with himself, saying, thank you, God, that I am not like other people. Thank you that I am not like Dr. Cash. Thank you that I am not like Delbert. I better put me in here. Thank you that I am not like Steve Weaver. Thank you, Lord God, that I am not like other people. Thank you. I am not a swindler. Thank you, God, I am not a swindler. I do not cheat people. I don't do extortion. I don't manipulate people to get monetary gains. I thank you that I am a just man. I'm very fair. In all my business dealings, I cheat nobody. I handle everybody the same. I am a fair person. Thank you, God, that I am that way. Thank you, God, I am not an adulterer. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, I am not an adulterer. Thank you, God, I'm not like this publican. Now, is this what he prayed? And we have been taught and told from this is that, boy, he was telling God how good he is. And this is surely the truth. He is doing this. But let me, before we get too critical about the Pharisee, because I really want us to understand the Pharisee, he's oozing with a desire to be pleasing to God. Before we get too critical about him, I want us to see something. How many of you are glad you're not a homosexual? It's most of us. How many of you are glad that you're not in the very best hospital with tubes in you? How many of you are glad and you thank God that your family is intact and that your children are serving God? And how many of you are glad that there is the ability in you to be fair with your children and fair with people, that you don't try to swindle and you don't try to cheat? How many of you are glad and you thank God, as Terry was singing, except for that mercy, it could be. Without Him, where would we be? How many of you have maybe prayed something like this Pharisee? Maybe you don't say it like that, but how many, maybe you've gone to the hospital sometimes and you've gone into somebody that maybe had terminal cancer and they had tubes all in them. And you prayed and you were sincere and you were really broken because of the person's condition and it was terminal and you left. And though you may not have vocalized it within you, you would really say, boy, I'm glad I've got my help. Talk to me now. See, we are not that far removed from this Pharisee's prayer. I don't think the emphasis here is that the Pharisee, how many of you are glad that you're not an adulterer? How many of you are glad that you are fair and that you're a just person? See, there's I don't see anything really wrong with that. And I thank God for my family, and I thank God for my understanding of things, and I thank God for my health. Thank you, God, that I'm not like that. I don't think there's anything really wrong here with his prayer. What's wrong here is that his standard is wrong. What he's judging himself with is what's wrong. You see, anytime that we judge ourselves with other people, we're missing what we're really supposed to judge ourselves with. Eternity is not determined by what somebody else does or how I compare to somebody else. Eternity is determined by my being conformed to whose image? Jody's? Whose image? Who do I compare myself with? Jesus Christ and nobody else. He is what I look at. He is what I judge. I look at the Scriptures. What did He say? How did He do it? I look at spiritual people and I hang with spiritual people. I hang with people that condemn my lifestyle if it's in error. And you know, people aren't like that. Sometimes they don't like to be around people that condemns their lifestyle. Let me tell you, that's the best people you can be around. It will cause you to move more into the image of Jesus Christ. Not that you're moving into their image, but they help you, provoke you to be more like Jesus. You understand what I'm saying here? See, and what he says is, I'm glad, well, that I'm not like Tebow. I'm glad I'm not like Jeff. I'm glad, you know. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that's the problem. Because he's looking and he's comparing to other people. And one of the main sins that I find in the Christian church, in the Church of Jesus Christ today, in the church universal worldwide, is how we compare with other people. We are always looking at others and condemning others and talking about others. We are always looking at others to see how we compare with them. Are you with me? And then there's the publican. And the poor old publican is beating on his chest. He's not comparing with nobody except God. I have sinned. I look to you, God, and I see my life as sin. Now, this would be the person who is an extortioner, who is unfair, who is an adulterer, who is, you know, all the things that this Pharisee says that he wasn't. That's the emphasis is that, hey, you know, the righteous piety that we can put on is not what's important. What's important is that we recognize the sin when we compare ourselves with Jesus Christ. And then we deal with it and we beat on our chest and forgive me, God, a sinner. And so the sin that I see in the church today is how we want to compare with somebody else. I'll bring this home to us and let it sink in this way. How many of us in 85 and 88 began to talk about two of the church leaders who had sinned and had fallen? How many did that? You see, it's very easy to do that. And we were looking at them and we were, as it were, comparing. Thank you, God. I'm better than that. Now, here's the point. When we allow ourselves, hear me, when we allow ourselves to look at people and get our eyes off of Him, our prayers stop. And you can pray all you want to, but the only person that hears you is yourself. Hear me. How many of you ever prayed something and you didn't have an answer? I mean, it was yes, no, I mean, it was nothing. You didn't even feel like it got out of the building. Anybody? I have. I've prayed prayers. Let me tell you, this is probably one of the main reasons of prayer hindrances. The Lord showed me this a year or two back when the sanctuary was still over there when I was preaching a series of messages of what hinders our prayers. And the Lord began to show me this, is that when we start looking at people and we start comparing ourselves with them and we say, boy, I am better than that. So therefore, they're just a hypocrite and I'm not going to mess with that because they're just hypocrites. When we start having that kind of mentality, our prayers stop. How many knows there are hypocrites in the church? That's right. There's a little hypocrisy in all of us. And when we start looking at people, folks, and we look at there, and we look at that one, and we look, and we're comparing with that and not comparing with Jesus Christ, your prayers stop. And they don't get out of the room. God is not impressed with them. He's not impressed with your fasting twice a week. He's not impressed with your tithing. This guy was so serious. I mean, it never entered his mind not to tithe. Never. He didn't say, I'm going to skip this week. I'm a little tight. He didn't go on vacation and say, I'll catch it up when I can. If he went on vacation and didn't pay his tithes, he felt bad. He oozed with wanting to be pleasing to God. The problem was not that he wanted to please God. The problem is that he wanted to compare himself with everybody else. I'm better than this one, and I'm better than that one. Look at that one. Boy, that one's this. It's a hypocrite. I don't like. Do you see this? How many think we might be a little guilty? Not you. Of course, you, not you. But in the church, that we are very judgmental, that we so rapidly and so quickly want to point the finger, and that we want to compare ourselves with people rather than doing what Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing on towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus and wanting to aspire to know Him. Nothing else really matters. Now, that's the message. That's it. What about that? What I want us to do, I want us to pray. And I want us to very seriously ask the Holy Ghost. How many of you have the Holy Ghost? Ask the Holy Ghost that every time we become critical, or we become condemning, or we want to compare ourselves with somebody else, that He will quicken to us that our prayers are hindered, and we better repent, and we better get it straight, and we better get back on track with God and look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. My eternity, listen to me, my eternity does not rest on what Jimmy Swaggart did. My eternity does not rest on what Steve Weaver does. Steve Weaver is a very holy man, very righteous man. But I don't compare with him. Even though he's holy and righteous, I don't compare myself to him. The only person that I compare with is Jesus Christ. It is not up for me to judge myself according to him. One story. Girl caught doing 75 miles an hour in a 35 miles an hour zone. She comes before the judge. How do you plead? She says, I'm guilty. He smacks the anvil. $100 fine. She hangs her head. She didn't have $100. Judge stands up, takes his robe off, which is in his wallet, takes out a $100 bill, walks down to the girl, and says, I'll pay the $100 for you, daughter. Wasn't only the judge, he was also the father. Are you hearing me? Father God has to judge our sins. There is always a production. What we sow, be not deceived. Dr. Cash said, don't be deceived. Whatever a man soweth, that too shall he also reap. There's going to be a judgment. He has to, because he's a just father. But he's also paid the price. He's paid the debt. He took off his deity. He took off his self and came down in Jesus Christ and paid the price. What you got to do is learn not to compare with this one or that one, but to cry out, God, forgive me, a sinner. Keep that kind of a heart. And God will always keep your prayers answered. At least this will be something that won't be hindering them. You'll be praying to something other than yourself. This is the only scripture I know in the Bible that talks about praying to yourself. And simply because you start comparing yourself with other people. Don't do it. It hinders your prayers. Here's what I want to do. I want to ask the Holy Ghost that He will quicken to us, that He will convince us and convict us every time. Maybe convict is not, I don't know. What is a good charismatic word? Convict, is that a good? That He will reveal to us that we have just sinned and that our prayers are hindered and we need to get through this. We're going to ask for forgiveness. We're going to ask God to forgive everybody in here. I want the prayers of this church answered. When we come together to pray, I want our prayers answered. I want my prayers answered. Don't you? I don't want to be praying to myself. I want to be praying to God. And so we're going to ask God to forgive us. And then secondly of all, we're going to ask the Holy Ghost to convict us every time that we begin to talk about people, we begin to point and compare ourselves with others, and cause us to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. If you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, you will never backslide. You will always continue to grow in Him. You will always move on in God. When you start looking at people, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to get disgusted. You got to keep your eyes on Christ. Stand up with me. What I want to do, let's get somebody and pray with somebody. Maybe better than somebody that you really know well. Husbands and wives are not good. Get somebody else and get an agreement on this thing. Just move around. Find somebody real quickly. Right? We're going to pray together, but let's everybody move around. Get somebody to pray with. We need to exercise ourselves with praying for people anyway. Find somebody. If you're a visitor, don't know anybody, you're uncomfortable with this, just pray with yourselves. I mean, pray not with yourselves. pray together with who you're with. Amen. Join hands.